Thanks very much, Sam. That was a great perspective on the whole waterfront. We'd like to kind of change gears now and focus on a tremendous success story in the space, Netflix. We're fortunate to have Mikey Cohen, who's an architect and principal engineer for the Netflix API, which is the front door for the Netflix streaming application. The Netflix API supports more than 2 billion incoming requests per day from over 1,000 device types and supports 36 million customers around the globe. Among other things, Mikey led the engineering effort to migrate the Netflix API and its dependent services from a traditional data center to a distributed service-oriented architecture in the Amazon cloud. His current areas of interest are cloud reliability, high scalability, resiliency, and dynamic cloud systems. Please welcome Mikey Cohen to Cloud Computing West.
So today I'm going to talk about our cloud migration and kind of some of the lessons learned and how we did it, basically. So today, 33% of the internet traffic is controlled by systems that run in the Amazon cloud. And it's not by the NSA, but by Netflix. So for those of you who have been living under a rock or something, don't know who Netflix is. We're a global streaming video service for TV shows and movies. And actually, we have over 40 million, 40 million subscribers in over 40 countries. And we account for 33% of peak internet traffic. And subscribers are watching well over a billion hours a month. So if you translate that with a little bit of math, that's about 100,000 years of streaming per month. So we support over 1,000 different device types. So now that you know what Netflix is, the big question is, why did we move to the Amazon cloud? And the answer is a lot of different answers to it, but you know, we think about what Netflix was coming from. We were really a traditional e-commerce company, so doing DVDs, that sort of thing, and our architecture really reflected a traditional e-commerce company. So, you know, we have a very large, massive Oracle database in the data center with a few middle-tier services and, you know, an edge that was handling API, you know, a website edge, streaming edge. So this isn't really an architecture that was going to scale very well for us. Oracle databases are very expensive and also a huge single point of failure. So we had two data centers before we moved to the cloud, one that was a lot smaller than the other one, and but still with an Oracle database, it really wasn't going to be an architecture that was going to bring us to high reliability and everything. And arguably, we really shouldn't be managing a data center. This picture kind of represents, you know, a typical, I don't know, this is what I imagine every data center that I've ever seen looks like. But we were never very good at it. So, you know, it took us, I think the best that we ever were able to get is when we needed to scale up instances, we had a heroic effort of about a day to bring up new servers, you know, and generally that was a lot slower and it was a very manual process. It really wasn't very good at it. So in order for us to move forward, we really needed to become a very software oriented company and not get out of the data center. So 2009 is really when we started cloud migration. So we did a lot of research and development into some of the core infrastructure, so some of the discovery services, monitoring, you know, logging, that sort of thing. By October of 2009, we had enough infrastructure that was running in the cloud that we were able to stand up a basic API service that was just, you know, returning metadata about catalog metadata. By May of 2010, we started doing development specifically for the iPhone in the cloud. And also we were able to run our first playback services in the cloud. So that's the authentication and stuff to be able to play back a movie. And in August of 2010 is when we launched the iPhone, August 26th. So this date really represents the date that Netflix was principally running in the cloud. So launching the iPhone was really it was a difficult thing to kind of gauge the scope of this. So this is the first streaming application for a mobile device. We didn't understand like how many people were gonna stream it on the first day. Were they gonna show it to like 10 of their friends? Were they gonna, how many of our customers had iPhones? We had an idea, but you know, the best estimate that we had for putting all these things together was about an order of magnitude. You know, so we were gonna either be insanely successful or very successful. But either way, it wasn't gonna work in our data center. So we figured this out, I think, in about maybe April of 2010, and we had to do kind of all hands on deck and move our services to the cloud very quickly. So kind of a very high level idea of how did we do this is, you know, our systems were broken up into various teams, and those teams basically took the data that was in Oracle, pulled it out, migrated it to Amazon SimpleDB, and we wrote web services on top of that and turned, you know, RESTful APIs in these services and essentially made a number of different services that were running that would approximate the data that we need in the Amazon cloud in to run a service. We still had a few types of things that were really a source of truth had to be in Oracle, so customer data, that sort of thing. And so we still were tethered back to the data center for some of these functionality. And for the types of API requests that we weren't able to serve in the cloud, we have a front-end proxy that would route those requests to the data center. So very transparently, we could run requests in mostly in the Amazon cloud and a few things back in our data center. So testing this, we needed to figure out, you know, using our most optimistic approximations of how well we were going to do an iPhone launch, we used a company Sosta to, we recorded the kind of requests we imagined a person on an iPhone would use, and we ran simulations in the cloud and pretty much broke every surface. So we break one surface, we'd fix it, break another surface, fix that, scale it, get it right. And eventually that was kind of how we brute forced, got ourselves to get everything working in the cloud. But I would really call it kind of, you know, duct tape together, basically, for the first iteration. So shortly afterward in October, we launched the PS3 in the cloud. So this is the first dynamically updatable user interface for Netflix. And 2010 really represented, you know, a year that we had numerous device launches, and we also had a huge amount of growth. So this is really when our service started becoming very, very popular. So we suffered the growing pains of the duct tape solution that we had, and also these services are migrating back, you know, trying to fix out the problems that we had in the data center, still migrating more data out, getting rid of SimpleDB in favor of Cassandra, a few other kinds of things. So there's lots of kind of solidifying our system and also suffering numerous outages because really we weren't very resilient and we didn't exactly know what we were doing in the cloud. So to give you a sense of the kind of traffic, so the red line represents about when we launched iPhone and PS3. So we were doing something about 2 billion requests a day. And 9 months later, we were doing about 30 billion. So we moved to the cloud, like, I think exactly at the right time. So 2012, last year, was really a year that, you know, we had to look at what we're doing, really built a lot of resiliency into our system and robustness. So one of the big pieces of that is a library called Hystrix, which we've open source, which can basically detect if a backend service is failing and can offer you a fallback for that. We also looked at re-architecting a lot of our systems. So looking at what we had as an API that was very RESTful and tuning that to be more useful towards devices. So the devices have, device partners and stuff have different requirements. Devices have very different requirements. And a RESTful API is not a one-size-fits-all kind of model. Doesn't really work when you're talking about these kinds of devices. We also looked at what we had and decided it was really, we had a lot of really useful infrastructure for the cloud and open sourced a lot of this. This year, 2013, to kind of put high bullet points of what we've been doing this year is a lot of automation. So automating our entire pipeline to be able to get, you know, source code to production as quickly as possible. And being able to scale up and down based on predicted traffic. So we're going to be publishing some stuff about this probably in the next few months, but basically we were able to predict what our traffic is going to be and able to scale up and down our instances proactively instead of reactively, as the Amazon's model is right now. And then, you know, continuous delivery services, and also aggregating our edge tier. So right now we have a website service, we have a playback service, and we have an API service. And really seeing that we have a lot of redundancy, our edge really needs to be, you know, bolstered. And instead of dealing with the redundancy, really putting our resources together to concentrate on an edge tier and not have these three teams that are doing similar things. It's really hard to predict what we're going to do next year, but I know that what we really are definitely working on is a lot of insights into our system. So right now, when problems happen, we have millions of metrics that we push out, and it's really difficult for us to find problems within our system. So having a system that's really using artificial intelligence to bubble up to us the types of problems and correlating issues within a huge web infrastructure is what we're working on. Also being able to push out code much more dynamically. So we have a lot of stuff that we're able to change behavior in real time on our systems by injecting code directly into live production systems, but being able to do that much more on a much faster scale. So we're about 4 years into Amazon Cloud, and this is what our, you know, we're in three Amazon regions, so the US West 2, we're in US East, and we're also in Europe. A super high level architecture of like what our system looks like. We use Amazon's enterprise load balancers as the very front. We have Zool, which is really our open source kind of routing fabric, a smart routing fabric that routes requests to either website traffic, API services, or streaming services. And then those then talk to a bunch of web services below it. So what have we learned? We learned that, you know, we're definitely gonna fail. And we failed many, many times. You know, code has failed, instances have failed, we've had zone outages, we've had our enterprise load balancers fail, even on Christmas Eve, which maybe some of you guys know, and fortunately I'm Jewish, so I took the heat on that one. Or unfortunately for me. So we've had the Amazon control plane fail, we've seen it all, you know, as far as failure. It really, another piece of, you know, a criticism of Amazon Cloud and really the Amazon services is like when you're within your instance, you're within your cloud kind of, you know, everything makes sense. But then when you have a request that goes out to another service that you know both of them are healthy and it doesn't get there, or you don't, you're not able to connect from one instance to another, or you can't start up instances because of some reason, or we have 30% variability in your instance type, it's very, very hard to prove to Amazon that there's a problem. So I'm kind of calling, like, you know, inside your bubble, like, things really make sense, but there's this bubble, and outside of that is really difficult to prove and get traction on some of these issues. So for us, resiliency really is the key to us having a highly available service. You know, so I think we have a resiliency strategy for all of the known issues that we've identified and dealt with. You know, code failure, we have continuous delivery, we have dynamically updating code. So being able to get code into production as quickly as possible. For service failures, we have redundancy within our zones. We have Hystrix, which can deal with fallbacks, give us fallbacks for those problems. Instances failures, we have our notorious chaos monkey, which is going around killing instances in production all the time to just prove that we can deal with instance failures. So zone outages, we have our Ribbon client, which is our web services client that automatically can pull you out of a zone and basically take a zone out. For ELB failures, we have a multi-region strategy. So if the West Coast goes out, we can just do a DNS switch over to the East Coast and traffic can go over to the East Coast. For the control plane and network issues, we really have to just be a good partner with our provider, our Amazon provider, to resolve these issues quickly. So when we fail, we really do make the cloud better. So because we run at such a large scale in Amazon, you know, we really have pushed the edges. We've pushed the edges of the ELB, we've pushed the edges of the control plane and the network and all these different things. And we really have been, being the pioneer, we've come in broken everything the first time. We've made it better for the next generation that's coming in. So, and we've also been really open sourcing our technology, that sort of thing. So, that's been, you know, we really help and give tech blogs, that sort of stuff, to kind of explain the information and the learnings that we have about these things. So you might think it's, you know, Netflix, it's pretty easy. I don't know. That was my impression when I started about 9 years ago. You push a button, the movie, it comes up and it plays, but it's actually quite complicated. So we have, you know, global content. We have all kinds of different issues that we run. You know, we have mobile devices. We have 10-foot user interfaces. We have all these different kinds of things that we have as a challenge. But I think that the solution for all these is really going to be, when you think about what, from my opinion, what the cloud's greatest strength has been for us is really the focus on software. So it's really been able to, instead of having to deal with a human, having to deal with hardware, we're able to automate all this entire process. So we can scale our business efficiently, we can automate our processes, we can experiment radically. We do all kinds of crazy experiments in our production environment. And that also enables us to remain resilient and move very quickly. So if you want more information about our cloud technology, you could check out our tech blog or look at our open source projects. Talk to me later about anything that's interesting, and I can talk to you about it in more detail. Thanks.